We're talking about stuttering, a neurological condition that affects the fluent and flowing production of speech. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer. Kent, glad you could be here. President Biden has lived with stuttering since childhood, and he's been open about what it's like to experience the anger and frustration of being mocked by classmates and even a teacher. Do you feel akin to Biden, determined over the years to control or to mask a stutter? What is that stigma like? Speech therapists, you join in too with insights, 800-642-1234. Brian Brown is an assistant professor of communication sciences and disorders at UW-Eau Claire. Brian, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
You are someone who has lived with a stutter since childhood. Can you start out by sharing your personal story about when it started and what this is like?
Sure. So I don't remember a time when I didn't stutter. From conversations with my parents, I've learned that my experience with stuttering followed a fairly typical trajectory, where I began to stutter around age three. And which is pretty typical for most children who stutter. They will begin to stutter in early childhood. And I kept stuttering, even though for most preschoolers who stutter, most of them will recover without intervention. About 20% of them will go on to stutter into adulthood, like me.
Yeah, I was wondering about that because, you know, do young kids who stutter early in life, do they automatically become adult stutterers? It sounds like that's not the case.
No, and it's more likely that for preschoolers who preschoolers who stutter will recover, but for a sizable minority, they will persist to stutter.
What causes the stutter? What is happening inside the brain? Do scientists even know?
That is a great question, and we don't have one thing that we're able to say if a child has this, they will not stutter, but we know a lot about factors that can contribute to stuttering, and so things like language ability, things like motor ability, things like a family history, all combine together, and they it creates a unique sort of constellation of factors that can contribute to stuttering beginning or stuttering resolving in a given child, and these factors are not the same across individual children, but we can use them to look at a particular child and say this child is more likely to recover than another child. So, for instance, a little girl who begins to stutter very early, who has a family history of recovery, is more likely to recover than a boy who begins to stutter late and has a family history of persistence.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with UW-Eau Claire's Brian Brown. He's an assistant professor of communication sciences and disorders. We're talking about stuttering and what the science tells us and also personal stories. You can join in 800-642-1234. You know, Brian, President Biden lives with a stutter like you, developed during childhood like you. How do you see Biden and yourselves alike or dissimilar?
Well, I think that we share similar experiences in having to deal with the negative thoughts and emotions that frequently come along with stuttering. One way that we're different is I got therapy as a child, and to my knowledge, President Biden has not. And so I think that and we have very different professions, and I think partially because of that we take a very different response to managing our stuttering, where I am very comfortable stuttering openly, and President Biden is not. And and so I think that might be a little bit of a difference between us.
What are there technologies or techniques you've tried or seen over the years to increase fluency?
Sure. So when it comes to the therapy that we provide people who stutter, there are essentially two main ways to change speech in order to make it easier to talk. We can either work with the moments of stuttering, those disfluencies, and reduce physical tension just in those moments, or we can try to change physical tension throughout the entire utterance to make the moment of disfluency less likely to occur.
Mm-hmm.
So when working with the speech, it's really about reducing that physical tension, how much effort they're putting into speech. But we also have to think about managing those negative thoughts and emotions that go along with stuttering.
Well, let's bring in a call. Lindsay is joining us from Madison. Hi, Lindsay. What would you like to add?
Yes, I as a stutterer myself, I got speech therapy when I was about in middle school, which I would not suggest because that's a pretty awkward age to begin with. And I hated it. I guess my question is, and I think you already talked about this while I was talking to the screener, is there a genetic component, and does trauma, witnessing the trauma, does that make things worse? Cause I know, the more, nervous I am, like even talking on the phone and saying my name, surprisingly, can be very hard for me, and introducing myself can be very hard for me.
Oh, Lindsay, thank you so much for bringing this. Brian, what about trauma?
Yeah, well, so it's not likely that witnessing a particular event is going to cause stuttering, but we do know that for those little children, a shift in their in environment, maybe like the birth of a younger sibling, a death in the family, moving to a different house or home. A shift in their in environment can maybe be the trigger, but it's not necessarily the cause.
Yeah, yeah. So as you look forward here on the research and what, efforts, as Lindsay says, middle school was awkward for her to have mm-hmm. speech therapy. What are the developments, on the horizon?
That is a great question. One thing that we need is more research in stuttering therapy, because right now there's a lot of research looking into the brain and DNA to see if we can untangle what the genetics do to the brain to cause stuttering to emerge in the first place, and that's a very important question, but there isn't a lot of research going on into researching stuttering therapy. One area that we're moving that way in is looking at what components, in addition to the managing the tension of speech, where we can help. So we're beginning to look at things like acceptance and commitment therapy and cognitive behavioral therapy to bring alongside stuttering therapy to see if that can help manage those negative thoughts and emotions.
Brian, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Brian Brown is an assistant professor of communication sciences and disorders at UW-Eau Claire. Coming up, we continue our series of candidate interviews for Wisconsin's next state superintendent. We talk with the former assistant director at the State Department of Public Instruction. That is in a moment. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network.